In the studio this morning, I have Paul Larkin, who has been involved with Free Energy for the last 10 years, and in the last year, immersing himself in these technologies and how we get the public consciousness to champion them. So kia ora and good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Tim.
Paul, with regard to clean, free energy, is there an unlimited universal energy and how do we tap into it?
Well, yes, there is an unlimited universal energy, and nature already uses that all the time. Plants are growing with this energy and expanding with this energy. All of nature uses this energy to create itself and power itself. Trees themselves act as electrochemical converters of this energy.
And so if the planet runs on this energy, and of course it has to because the solar system seems to work constantly, that it uses this energy as well.
Yes, it does.
Because the planet is a spinning dynamo and all the planets spin around the sun, there's an energy vortex in its own right. Is that not right?
Obviously, there has to be energy forces creating the structure and supporting and sustaining it for it to actually exist.
So how do we tap into it, Paul?
First of all, we have to understand that what we see in the here and now is the physical, but what we also don't see is the non-physical forces, spirit, energy that is actually creating the physical. The fact is that for anything to exist physically in our here and now, we also have to have a non-physical consciousness and energy structure that is supporting and creating that. So to tap into the energy of the universe, we have to understand a bit about how it works. In the words of Victor Schoberger, we have to comprehend and copy nature. Not just what we see, but what we don't see. We have to also connect as the shamans did and get the information directly from spiritual experiences and from asking the relevant questions of the universe, not expecting an answer, but tuning into it and finding those answers for ourselves. That will lead us to, and is leading us, to creating sustainable technologies which are not harming the planet, which are in harmony with all of nature.
Because Nikola Tesla also realized that he could tap this planet as an energy source and then send the electricity through radio waves or without wires. So there are people who have been before us who understood this, and yet here we are today in the second decade of the 21st century and the whole human race is struggling with the idea of what is going to power us up so that we can continue to have electricity, have light, have power. What do we do to get these technologies manifest?
Nikola Tesla had some really interesting understandings about electricity. He was one of the geniuses who developed most of our technologies which we're currently using in the form of electrical generation and power systems. And he understood very well that there are at least two types of electrical energy. There's the electrical current that flows through wires, and then there's the non-physical component of that electrical energy, which is often called static electricity, which you can also harness. And that so-called static electricity is in fact moving, and moving at great speeds, often with no physical indication that it's moving because it often has two opposing polarities which seem to cancel each other out. Nikola Tesla discovered through his experiments that that technology had tremendous power to it, that we could actually convert some of that power into usable electrical current and send it through the medium of what scientists used to call the ether to transmit and receive that at any point on the planet.
Well, the situation at the moment, Paul, is that we are in need of a new energy system. Majority of the power on this planet is produced by coal-burning technologies, which we call the dinosaur age. And we want to be able to get into what we'd call sunrise industries, industries that have a clean, renewable quality to them. And yes, we're working with solar, we're working with wind power, but you're embedded in a new idea of bringing through technologies that work with magnetics and different polarities and tapping into this unseen source. Can you explain it for the listeners?
It's not something which is easy to put into a few sentences, but I'll do my best. What we're doing is we're tapping into a small part of that non-physical manifestation of electrical energy, with that so-called static electricity. And we're getting that to do useful work in circuits and charge batteries. Most of the research that we're doing at the moment is following the research of a person called John Bedini, and I should introduce him to the people who don't know of John Bedini. He's one of the geniuses of the free energy movement. For years he's been developing a system of motors and generators which tap into this energy, and he has numerous patents to his name supporting this technology to bring the technologies to market. One of the things which really made John famous, though, was a few years ago he coached a 10-year-old girl how to make a motor for a science fair. And this is one of the things which really got people on the internet interested in his technologies, because he coached her how to make a motor run for several days off a 9-volt battery. And she made this motor. It looked nothing special, but it ran for somewhere between 5 and 9 days off this 9-volt battery. And at the end of the science fair, the battery wasn't flat. Actually, they just turned it off. The motor was actually bringing extra energy back into itself from the energy field, from the etheric field, or recycling its own input power so that it could run almost indefinitely off a small energy source. Now, if you are to go and buy a motor off the shelf and try and run it off a 9-volt battery, you might get 3 or 4 hours, maybe 5 hours if you're lucky, out of that 9-volt battery, and then it'll be flat. So this represents a huge leap in the technology to be able to do this.
Can you define the ether or etheric forces? Because we know that Albert Einstein, the genius that he was not able to understand that and maintained that he could not find ether, but still today a lot of scientists, and particularly the Russian scientists, are aware of this particular force.
Well, I come from a background of working with body therapies and subtle energy flows and understanding that they work through the body and understanding that they work through all of nature and through plants as well. The basic scientific premise that there is no ether came from an experiment by two scientists, the Michelson-Morley experiment, that supposedly disproved the existence of the ether. Now, absence of proof of something is not proof of absence of something. They proved that their model of the ether was incorrect. And from my point of view, the ether has to exist for all of the physical to exist. And proof of that comes from things like radio waves and light travelling through space. If it had no medium for it to travel through, because it travels as waves over these vast distances, it has to travel through something, something that transmits the waves. And that's what we call the ether. It's the substance in which the whole of the universe exists that transmits the waves of energy through the universe.
I understand that practitioners of Kung Fu, Tai Chi, and Aikido, and Karate all tap into what Chinese call Qi and the Japanese called Ki. So there's that subtle energy that is already here, but we in the West have sort of declined to get a deeper understanding of what this energy is.
Yes, and we can move that energy through doing breathing exercises. We can get that energy to sustain us and rejuvenate our bodies. And if we had the right equipment, we could even measure it and prove that it exists scientifically. certainly certain Russian technologies like Kirlian photography does show that it does exist. I won't go into how that's done, but it does exist. You can see it. It's not just some wacky thing that you see at these New Age fairs where they do an aura photo, but it can be used for medical diagnosis and all sorts of other useful things.
So, Paul, you've mentioned Schauberger, you've mentioned John Bedini. Any others? Because you talk about we as a group. Now, you have a group of people here in Auckland, a loose group of people on the leading edge of looking at putting these technologies together?
Certainly, I'm in contact with a number of people who've been working on developing practical implementations of free energy technologies, technologies where we get out more than what we put into a system. And most of the people who are researching this, by and large, are doing it by themselves in their own garages, and they're not really talking about what they're doing to too many people. There is a growing network of people connecting through the internet, seeking to open source the technologies and share the information and bring forth the technologies through practical experimentation. And that's what I'm about with the group as well.
So there's people up and down New Zealand quietly ticking over, getting these ideas out, getting some working models. There are a few working models around.
There are, and also sometimes people don't know what they have. For instance, with the Bedini technologies, it gets a little hard to quantify something like over-unity, which is another expression of the free energy of getting more out than what you're putting in. The way that technology is normally quantified is if you run it off batteries and you have an input battery, and you're charging up batteries with the technology at the other end, how much extra energy compared to the input are you getting in terms of useful power you can get out of the charging batteries? And certainly the information I've seen from the inventors has been anywhere from 3 to 12 times out what you're putting in. One of my associates has deaf